This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:36 in the morning, you are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Philip C. and Tan Chen Lee on Tuesday, the 24th of May. For now, though, we are turning our attention to China, where the Omicron variant has come at a heavy cost for the economy. Although Shanghai has just indicated plans for normalcy to return in June after weeks of closure, now Beijing and Tianjin are seeing widespread restrictions in place after witnessing rising number of COVID-19 cases.
The persistent COVID controls, primarily in Shanghai, have forced factories to close or operate at limited capacity. In April, China reported an 11% drop in retail sales from a year ago, while industrial production fell close to 3% year-on-year. As the world's second largest economy continues to be isolated from the rest of the world with its harsh containment measures, how will consumer demand play out for the rest of the year?
So for some insight into this, we speak to Kathy Chow, Senior Director at Fitch Ratings. Kathy, good morning. Thank you very much for joining us. What is your outlook for China's consumer demand in the coming months? We saw that first quarter GDP came in better than expected, but do you think that we're going to see the impact of lockdowns felt in subsequent quarters?
I think if we look at the previous example of the initial COVID pandemic in 2020, we saw that it took around 8 months for the retail sales to recover from negative territory to positive.
And which retail segments remain resilient and which segments continue to underperform amid the current lockdown environment?
Usually food and beverage and essentials tend to remain resilient. And in terms of underperformance, we look at predominantly all offline offline-dependent sectors. So we have dining, for instance, and also retail passenger vehicle sales.
You know, and one sector that we can't ignore is auto sales, because I'm sure that's been affected by the lockdown. If I remember correctly, in April, they sold just one car only in Shanghai. So can you give us a sense of how significant Shanghai is to the auto manufacturing sector then?
Sure. By our estimates, Shanghai and the surrounding provinces represent around 30% of China's auto component output. So it is quite significant. And as of the end of May, there were still significant disruptions to production.
So I wonder, thinking out loud now, that since we see Shanghai reopening back again, will we see a recovery in the auto sector sooner rather than later?
I think for the auto sector, we'll see that wholesale should see a recovery once factories begin production again. For passenger vehicles retail, we should also see a relatively sharp increase, but it will matter which class. Usually luxury classes tend to recover and be more resilient than mass market, which could see more of an impact from lower consumer demand.
And Chinese government has been talking about supports for the economy. Which sectors would you think would benefit most from this?
We've seen isolated support measures from certain local government provinces. Mostly we've seen support for autos. We've seen subsidies for EV vehicles, electric vehicles, and also loosening in terms of license plates being granted. And then we also see some support for home appliances, so trading in for more green energy efficient appliances.
You know, so just building on that support, you say just now that there's been a very targeted support, but just overnight we saw China plan for this tax relief of over $21 billion, really much targeted at companies rather than households. In your broader assessment, how effective do you think this tax relief will be?
I think for us, we've looked at the unemployment figure, and even pre-lockdown, there has been a trend of higher unemployment because China introduced several tightening measures in industries that have high employment, such as education and technology, starting in last year. And so we're still seeing that impact. So I think for individuals, for now, it's probably going to be less of an impact.
And could you talk to us more about unemployment in China, Kathy, in terms of what are the trends that you're observing? Which segments of the society are we seeing higher unemployment? And is the government doing anything in response to that?
I think, as I mentioned earlier, the regulatory crackdowns in education and technology and also property more recently, they are seeing a lot of challenges in employment. And I think these will not are not likely to recover quickly because education, I think we cover a couple of companies in this sector as well, and it seems like they are unlikely to resume employment and unlikely for the entire industry to recover quickly.
I see. But perhaps maybe a perspective I would like to get from you is real estate, because we know that's such a huge chunk of the economy, right? Directly, it's about 14 to 15% of GDP. Even if you cover the upstream, downstream, it's up to a quarter of the economy, right? You know, what are the trends in property values and developments are taking place, right, that could be affected by consumer spending then?
I think for property, we need to split it into residential properties and also shopping mall operators. So in terms of the impact on the wealth effect, so we did look at consumers, and property assets represent around 59% of household assets, which is quite a significant portion.
Yes.
So if household values go down, then obviously this would incentivize people to save more, which we've seen quite notably in first quarter of 2022. You also have the other side where shopping mall operators, they collect rental from these consumer brands, for instance. And we've seen that in the past pandemic, they've actually been less effective because they have a fixed rental amount, and they sometimes give rental relief, some rent-free periods during lockdowns. But I think overall, their rental being fixed means that the shopping mall operators tend to have more resilient results.
So I think what you kind of implying here is that, look, this property has so many legs to it, isn't it? You talk about it having a driver of a personal consumer wealth. It also is about the retail shopping mall sector per se. What else can be done to kind of catalyze consumption spending and wealth generation among the China population then?
I think there's been talks of vouchers, consumption vouchers, which I don't believe has been introduced on a large scale yet. Usually this is temporary in terms of its impact, encouraging people to spend, but this has been a measure introduced in other regions that we've seen. And I think that also we talked about taxes earlier, and if there was some tax relief on the individual filing side, then I think that this might also help as well. But I think employment and disposable income are key economic points that could take longer. Mm. And this is different from the initial pandemic. When the economy was stronger, I think we looked at a faster rebound. In about 8 months for retail sales. I think this time, given the weaker macroeconomic backdrop and also the transmissibility of Omicron, I think that we're looking potentially for a longer period.
Kathy, thanks very much for speaking with us this morning. That was Kathy Chow, Senior Director at Fitch Ratings, talking to us about some of the trends she sees in consumer demand in China. What are the factors that will influence its outlook and the recovery of the economy moving forward?
It's interesting, you know, if you talk about China's economy 10, 15 years ago, it was very much driven by trade. And this conversation with Kathy very much impinges that China's recovery is very much linked to its consumer willingness to spend going forward. And it's very hard to do that, especially if your wealth is dissipating as a result of property development prices tanking and also that you're locked down.
Exactly. And the unemployment rate, the fact that even before pandemic, it was increasing. We're seeing unemployment trends more so. It's due, as you mentioned, to one of the reasons is because of the regulatory crackdowns and how it impacts different sectors. It's going to be interesting to see how China navigates this moving forward. 7:46 in the morning, we're heading into some messages. When we come back, will we finally see a reform of petrol subsidies and how might this take shape? Stay tuned for that discussion. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.